Take your Bible, if you would, please, today. Find, if you would, the 13th chapter of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 13 will be where I will begin. I will turn you to some other places in the scripture. If you do not have a Bible in your hand or you do not have the ability to see a Bible, I trust that you'll position yourself where you can. Maybe somebody has an extra one they'll share. There should be one in the pew in front of you. But I want you to be able to see God's word this morning. Pick up, if you would, please, Proverbs chapter 13. And let's begin with verse number 13 as well. The Bible says, "Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed. But he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Good understanding giveth favor." And would you please read the last part of that verse with me out loud? "But the way of the transgressors is hard." I want to take that last phrase in verse number 15. "But the way of the transgressors is hard." And I want to preach today a message that God has laid on my heart, simply entitled, "The Hard Way." The Hard Way. There are times as your pastor when God gives me a message and he gives it to me in a certain way. I call it the messy way. Sometimes I'll pray and I'll ask the Lord, "Lord, what do you want me to preach on?" And sometimes he'll give it to me and man, I can just see it outlined A, B, C and 1, 2, 3. And it just looks so good on paper that it's one thing. And then there are other times when he just dumps it all over my heart and it's like I spilled my food everywhere. It's just messy and goes every place. So I'm confessing to you this morning, I'm preaching to you a messy message. But I am confessing to you that I believe that you will sense God's power in a wonderful way in this message. The way of the transgressors is hard. Really and truthfully, if I was to work out that phrase to you, it would look something like this. That word "way" is the idea of the course of life, or the way that life is navigated. You could say the course of the life of the transgressor. That word "hard" is the word "rough." The Bible scholars, when they painted it as a word picture to me, when I studied that, it was the picture of a hard dirt path that's not even. It's got stones in it. It's not comfortable to walk on. It's not smooth in any capacity. It's the word "rough." If you know anything about the book of Proverbs, you know that it's Solomon having a heart-to-heart with his boy. Solomon is having a heart-to-heart with his boy. And really and truthfully, as the word of God, as it's inspired, it's also able for you and I to know and to read and to glean from. And in chapter 1, Solomon gives the reason why he wrote this book, so that the young men would know wisdom. The book of Proverbs really is the exaltation of one path over another, or one way over another, in the mind of Solomon as he's communicating it to his son. When you study the book of Proverbs, you will find that you have the way of wisdom, which is God's way and God's wisdom. And you have the way of the world, which would be of worldly wisdom and difficulty and negativity in a direction there. Solomon, all throughout the book of Proverbs, is encouraging his boy on the path and the way that he wants him to walk. I remember in my lifetime as a young man, I had some heart-to-hearts with my dad. I may not come across this way, but I'm kind of an emotional guy. You wouldn't know that. It's weird. I'm weirdly emotional. Are you married to a weirdly emotional man? That's okay. Beverly is too. You'll survive it, and one day you'll get rewarded for it. For example, when my brother and I would fist fight, that you used to be allowed to fist fight. Matter of fact, I remember the day my dad brought home two Muhammad Ali boxing gloves and gave one pair to me and one pair to my brother. And he said something that you would go to jail for today. He said, "Have fun, boys." And we worked out a lot of problems with that. I remember I was bigger than my brother and older than him. And so I used to be able to have my way. And I'll never forget one time he said, I've been pounding on him. He said, "I want to hit you just once." And I had a brief moment of insanity where I thought that was a good idea. So I said, "Okay, I'll stand here and I'll let you hit me." Well, man, he took the stance and he went just like this. And I thought, this is a bad idea. And before he could, I just went, wham. And he went flying right back into the dresser and all that. I had a heart-to-heart with my dad after that about fairness. We would get in fist fights and I would be winning, but I would be crying. Why would you be crying when you're winning? I just was emotional that way. When I get really stirred up, tears flow. I think a little bit about my dad. I remember some times in my life when I needed some correction, I needed some instruction, I needed some love, and my dad would grab me and he'd give me a heart-to-heart. My dad was a letter writer. I would find letters. Matter of fact, at major moments in my life, my dad would always have a letter for me. And I think I still have some of those letters. I actually had the letter from my first girlfriend in the sixth grade until I got married. And that letter disappeared somewhere. I'd kept that thing all my life. It was from Gretchen Combs. Something about, forget about that. You don't need to know about that. Well, and heart to heart. Do you ever have a heart to heart with your kid? A heart to heart is usually one party convincing another party. If you ever had to have a heart to heart with your kid, you're motivated because you want your kid to change. You want your kid to know better. You want your kid to be blessed. It's very burdensome and heavy when you want something for someone more than they want it themselves. And really, truthfully, that moment can be overwhelming. And a lot of times we plead for those with tears. Such is the case with Solomon. Solomon's writing to his son, and he's presenting throughout the whole book two paths. One that would be a path of life and one that would be a path of destruction. In the verses that I have read to you, one of them, if you look at verse number 15, will have a path that giveth favor, and the other one is a hard road. In verse number 14, he talks about one being the law of the wise to the fountain of life, and the other path really will carry with it the snares of death. In verse number 13, he talks about one being destroyed and one being rewarded. And so Solomon is tremendously burdened for the course of the life of his son. And the one way that he wants his son to understand that is tremendously difficult or hard or rough is the way of the transgressor. Matter of fact, come if you would to verse number 1. He kind of opens the chapter with this. You can just hear this dad saying to this son, "Hey boy, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke." Let me say to everyone in this room who's of the age of 12 to 18, a wise child will hear the godly instruction of a parent. Solomon is pouring out his heart. Look at verse number 2. "A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the," say that word, class, soul. The soul of the transgressors shall eat violence. You know, Solomon is wanting his boy to take the right path. And he's contrasting the way of life versus the way of death. He's contrasting the way of favor with the rough way. And Solomon is very concerned with the soul of his boy, mom and dad. Every parent ought to be more concerned with the soul of their kid than they are any other part of their kid. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world but lose his own soul? You would be shocked at how often your pastor has to fight with parents over what's more important to them about their kid. Pastor, I want my kid to have a good education. That's fine, I do too. Pastor, I want my kid to be popular. I understand. I want my kid to have this kind of experience. There's nothing wrong with those certain types of things in the right way. But every parent ought to be more concerned about their kid's soul, because it is the soul of your kid that is eternal. You ought to be sitting there thinking, parent, what about the soul of my kid? Where's the soul of my kid? Solomon is worried about his boy's soul, that spiritual makeup of his kid. This is the wealthiest, wisest man outside of the Lord to ever walk the face of the earth. And he understands that the soul of his son has the ability to be swayed. He understands that the soul of his son is that mind, that will, that emotion, that personality. It's that psuche is the word there of you. Your soul really is who you are. And he's wanting him to hear wise instruction. And he says, now, son, you're going to eat good things by your mouth, but I'm concerned about your soul. And he cares about his soul, that it's not in the position of the transgressor. He does not want his son to walk the way of the transgressor. Hard way, kid. Hard way, kid. You know, the Bible has some interesting things to say about transgressors. Would you just go to chapter 13 or 11? Look at verse number 1. Let me show you a couple of things. Messy message, but it'll come together at the end. Look, if you would, at verse number 3. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall do what, class? Now, you've known me a long time, so don't freak out. He didn't want his boy to be a pervert. Now, the word pervert in our society conjures up a whole lot of things. But Solomon is letting you know the transgressors have a perverseness to them. Perverseness is mixing things around, getting things in a perverted order. For example, it would be like calling good evil and evil good. It's taking that which is good and twisting it to not be good anymore. Solomon says that the transgressors have a perverseness about them that's going to destroy them. Go to verse 6 of the same chapter. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but transgressors shall be taken in their own, say that word, naughtiness. Now, you study that word. That doesn't just mean that Johnny's being naughty. That carries a deep, sensual, deep, wicked, deep, deceptive act. So the transgressor has got a perverseness to them. There is a naughtiness in there. that affects their soul, that brings them to a violence or an unrest within their soul. And Solomon says, boy, you go that way, it's a hard way to go. Look at chapter 26, verse number 10. I love you for turning your pages. Thank you. If you have that iPhone, turn the page turning app on and crank the volume. Chapter 26. Same writer here. Look at verse number 10. Say those two words. Not just God. The great God. Parents, when you want to present God to your children, present Him as great. The great God that formed you, all things both rewardeth the fool and rewardeth, say our word. Son, you got two ways. The way of wisdom and the way of the world. Son, I want you to hear my wise instruction. The way of the transgressor, the hard way. The course of life that is a transgressor is going to be rough. There's a perverseness to it. There's a naughtiness to it. There's an uprest and upheaval to it. And son, the great God will respond to that. Pastor, the great God will respond to that. How awful is a transgressor? What is a transgressor? Who is a transgressor? Oh, great. Come with me to James chapter 2. It's in the New Testament. Turn with me. James 2. Look, if you would, please, at verse number 9. This is a little bit like a Wednesday night message. Verse number 9. But if you have respect to persons, this is a different context here, you commit sin and are convinced of the, what's that word, class? Law. Everybody say law. 1, 2, 3. Law. You are convinced of the law as transgressor. Can anybody hold or show me what the law is? Where's the law? If I wanted to find the law, where would I look according to that verse? Okay. So James says, it is the law or the word of God that convinces me or convicts me as a transgressor. Now you're ready to hear the definition of a transgressor. A transgressor is a rebel. Transgressor is one that willfully deviates and rebels against the way of godliness. A transgressor is a rebel who willfully deviates or rebels against the way of godliness. Solomon says, son, the way of the transgressor is rough, it's hard, it's a rebellious, willful way that goes against the way of righteousness. Now you can understand why God would come so hard against the transgressor. Come, if you would, please, to 1 John chapter 3. Make your way there. It's back from James a couple of books. 1 John chapter 3. Look, if you would please, at verse number 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. One of the most beautiful, powerful definitions of sin. If somebody ever asks you to define sin, don't tell them adultery, although it's a sin. Don't tell them drunkenness, although it's a sin. If you're going to define sin, let John define sin for you. Sin is the transgression of the law. Now, I just told you, the law we find is the Word of God. It is the law that convinces men as transgressors. It is the law that exposes that willful, deviant, denying, rebellious spirit that says, I'm going against the way of godliness. What is transgression? Oh, write this down. To trespass. To step over the line. To go beyond bounds. One more time. To trespass. To step over the line. To go beyond bounds. Solomon says to his son, kid, the course of life of a willful denial and rebellious mind toward the way of godliness, where you step over the line, where you trespass through, or where you go beyond the bounds, that way is rough. Pastor, you don't seem to be yourself today. I want to read you a Bible verse. I want you to hear my heart. Here's what the Bible says. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved because they kept not my word. I beheld the transgressors and I was grieved because they kept not thy word. I find myself as a pastor. I have learned some things. I can't make people do what they don't want to do. I can't make anybody do what they don't want to do. I think as a parent, you get to the point sometimes where you want to make your kids do what you think is best for them. And the fact that your kid won't do what you want them to do, especially once they've left your house, has to crush your heart. Can understand a little bit about a pastor when he deals with the subject of transgressors. There's different levels of transgressors. There are the transgressors that in our original sin, where the Lord Jesus was numbered among the transgressors. I was a transgressor where I was lost. I was without the Lord. I had trespassed in sin. I had stepped over the bounds. I had done those things. It was evidence of my sinful nature. Hallelujah. The Lord came. He was numbered in my transgression. He died for my sin and he has brought to me eternal life. If that's happened to you, say amen. We've been brought out of that. But God's people have the ability sometimes to walk in the way of the transgressor. God's people have the ability to step over the line, cross the bounds, trespass. That might be you today. Let me give you some things that would sound like. Pastor, I've heard these, by the way, in 24 years of ministry. I'm thinking about having an affair. I'm not getting what I want. And so I'm thinking about having an affair. My response to that is, the way of the transgressor is hard. Pastor, at work, I've got a situation where I can be honest or I can be dishonest, and I'm thinking about it. The way of the transgressor is hard. Pastor, I grew up in a Christian home. I got saved when I was young in life, and I haven't really experienced much of the world, and I haven't had the opportunity to be part of things. You know, I've never been this. I've never done this. I'm thinking about going out, and I'm thinking about experiencing some things because I've kind of lived a little bit of a sheltered life. The way of the transgressor is hard. And sometimes I have to watch people make a decision to step over the line. Go forward and to move accordingly. And this is what Solomon is trying to keep his son from doing. And he's saying the course of that life is rough and tough and a problem. I think Solomon learned this from his dad David. Come if you would please to Psalm 37. Come with me. Stay with me now. Don't lose me. Come to verse number 37. Mark the perfect man. Behold the upright. For the end of that man is what, class? Peace. Remember how Solomon in the beginning, he said, son, the soul of the transgressor, it knows violence. How did Solomon know that? Because Solomon had walked in that way of transgression before. Solomon had done difficult things. Solomon had made some cognitive decisions to step over the line. And Solomon bore some scars, but he also had his dad, David. Now, here's what David said. David said, mark that a perfect man or a mature spiritually man, for he's going to know peace. Look, if you would, at verse number 38. But the transgressors shall be what, class? Destroyed. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. The salvation of the Lord, of the righteous is of the Lord. He's their strength in the time of trouble, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. David is giving advice to all of us, but I'm sure he passed that down to Solomon. And David wanted Solomon to learn from David's mistake or his sin. Solomon didn't learn. And so Solomon let his heart get turned from the Lord. And now Solomon is just broken for his kid. David got to a place in his life where he contemplated the way of the transgressor. You know the story. 2 Samuel chapter 11, 2 Samuel chapter 12. David sees Bathsheba. She's on the housetop bathing. That's where they bathed back then. David was where he shouldn't have been. He should have been out to war. And he sees that woman, and the lustful spirit begins to develop in David. And David begins to contemplate her. He begins to contemplate that moment. David finds himself with a decision to make. And here's what David does. He says, go get her. Bring her to me. They bring Bathsheba to David. You know what happens. An affair happens. You know a child is conceived. You know that after a child is conceived, there's a plot and a plan to make it look like it was her husband. When the plot and the plan foils, there's a murder that happens. Now stay with me because I'm about to say some things you may not agree with. It was easier for David to murder Uriah than it was to sleep with Bathsheba. It was easier for David to kill that man than it was to have an affair. Why would you say that, Pastor? Because David is contemplating what he's going to do. He makes a decision that says, I'm stepping over the line. I am transgressing the boundary of that law. There's an old adage out there that says, the first step is the hardest, and then the rest come easy. So David, in his mind, steps outside of the law of God, and then the rest of those steps just happen. Pastor, how did I get here in my life? Pastor, I never dreamed I would do what I have done. Pastor, I'm so ashamed of myself. Pastor, I've hurt so many people. How I used to be right, right. What you learned is the way of the transgressor. It's rough. It's rough. It's hard. It goes against the law of God. I don't know about you, but when I've went away from the law of God, I sure am glad for the forgiveness of God. Here's what I'd like you to hear about David. David writes about his time in this position where he's walking the way of the transgressor. Did you know that during that year when David's trying to hide his sin, God reveals it to the man of God. The man of God comes to David, and the man of God tells David a little story. Tells David a story about a rich man who has all kinds of sheep and a poor man who has one little lamb. The rich man gets company, and he goes down over here and takes the poor man's lamb and kills it and eats and prepares that. David rages at that, and David says, four times, fourfold that man's going to pay. That prophet took his finger, put it in the face of David, and said, you're the man. All the blood went out of David's face. And David dropped. Fourfold. The baby dies. David's son rapes his sister. Absalom kills Abner. David, wrong, wrong, wrong. Loved Absalom. Joab kills Absalom. That's when David cried out, my son, would to God I had died for thee. Solomon comes on the scene. He kills Adonijah. Fourfold. Yes, there is forgiveness with God. But the way is hard. Listen to what David wrote about that way. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. He raged. Day and night, thy hand was heavy upon me. My moistures turned into the drought of summer. David said, that way of the transgressor, hard way to go, and God's convicting hand upon me was a hard way to go. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. David will tell you God forgives sin, but David will tell you it's a hard road to go. So here's Solomon. wanting his son to realize that. Here's Solomon wanting his son to not step outside of the line or the boundary or trespass what God had given to him. Later in Psalm 51, David would write these words, and I want to read them to you. He cries out for mercy from God. He asks God to wash him thoroughly from his iniquity and cleanse him from his sin. He acknowledges his transgression is ever before the Lord. He talks about how he wants God to purge him with hyssop and he shall be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew in me a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach, say it, class, transgressors, thy ways. Come, if you would, to Psalm 18. I'm almost done. Still yet to make my best point. Here's the difference between God's way and the way of the transgressor. And would you please read Psalm 18, the verse 30 to the colon out loud with me. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He's a buckler to all those that trust in him. Here's what David would tell you. David would tell you, the way of the transgressor is a rough way to go. Picture with me what happens. It's the law that convinces us as a transgressor. So church, here's what you have. You have God's word. And God's word builds like a wall around you. Living in God's word is a wonderful way to live. You live with the power of God. You live with the miraculousness of God. You live with the sustaining of God. You live inside of God's plan. To make a cognitive decision to step over the line. Now I'm outside of the buckle of the Word of God. I'm outside of the way of God, that perfect way. I'm out here all by my... I have trespassed through, or I've gone beyond the bounds. And as difficult as that was, now the rest of the steps of the life just fall right into place. And we get people that go so far down. Why? Because they had a moment where they stepped outside of the Word of God. Willful, rebellious, and against the way of godliness. They trespassed. They stepped over the line. And they find themselves in a rough way. If you've ever done that, would you say amen? Amen. Pastor, I've done that. I'm that right now. Oh man, Pastor, there was a day that I did not despise the word. There was a day that I was walking with the Lord. There was a day that I was in that buckle. There was a day. But I made a decision somewhere in my life, and I stepped outside. Now, Pastor, 10, 20, 30 years, I'm over here. Pastor, there ain't no way back. Oh, let me tell you something. With the Lord, there's always a way back. Where would I begin? I wish I had a nickel for every time somebody asked me where they should begin. You begin with humility. Humility always gets the attention of God. Don't try to fix yourself. Don't make him promises. Don't try to work it out. Just humble yourself. Lord, I'm walking in the way of the transgressor. I stepped outside. I need you to forgive me. I humble myself. I don't know where to go from here, but I want you to direct me, and God will direct you. Here's what I want you to know, church family. You're always going to get opportunities to step outside of the way of godliness. But don't you ever forget, it's a hard way to go. It's a hard way to go. His way is perfect. Amen? Amen. Let's pray.